4 of our series of Frequency. It's so good to bring this one to a close, but yet sad all at the same time. We've been in the middle of 21 days of prayer, and today is actually day 22, so, which means we want that to continue. We've laid out 21 days of prayer, and we've had a great time of going online and connecting with hundreds of churches in the same 21 days that are just seeking God, going all in, believing as we pray that it's going to also yield a harvest. That means that lives are going to be changed this fall. We do this a couple times in the year. We do it in January. We also do it in August, and just been an awesome, awesome journey. But the goal is not just to do that and check it off your list, but then to establish a lifestyle of just having relationship with God. But let me just pause right here as we begin this installment of this particular series. And let me just take a moment, as I always do right here, and welcome all those that are a part of our online campus that are joining us online. So glad to have people from all over the country, all over the world for that matter. Hey, welcome. We're glad you're here. Yes. Amen. And by the way, let me just mention, if you're new attending online, just know that there are message notes there for you as you follow along with today's message. And for those in-house, in your worship guide, you'll find some message notes there. They're actually hole punched because we have some binders out in the lobby for you that you can avail yourself of. Just take them. They're yours for the taking, and you can collect series. We're beginning a new series next week, and you can follow along and just help you kind of stay connected with the message and what we believe God's sharing. So I just want to jump right into today's installment here, part 4 of this series. And let's look at the scripture. It's found in John chapter 10. We've been laying this out as a theme verse. In John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Jesus is speaking here in really a parable, or he's kind of given an illustration and a picture here. And the reason is he's trying to show the kind of relationship that he wants to have with us. But he says that sheep, they know particularly the voice of their shepherd. Another shepherd they're not going to hear, a stranger they're not going to hear, but they're going to hear the voice of their shepherd. And then it goes on to say, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." So there is a relationship there. They recognize his voice. And then verse 5 says that, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." So what Jesus is showing is that when we have a relationship with him, it helps us to recognize his voice, and as we recognize his voice, we follow his voice. But it also teaches us what not to listen to. It says that they will run away from the voice of a stranger. So it teaches us what we should stay away from, and we're going to talk about today how to recognize God's voice. And also, we know that God still speaks. Anybody know that God still speaks?
Amen.
Amen. God still speaks. And so, but there's also a devil that speaks as well. There's some other voices that are speaking as well. And so we need to learn how to distinguish between the two. We're going to talk about that and how to shut out the enemy's voice. And in fact, just know that again, there's different things that are speaking to us. Here's the deal. God doesn't have a speaking problem. The problem is we have a listening problem. And so this thing about frequency, we're tuning in, we're saying God's speaking, but we need to get on the same frequency where we can really hear his voice. And so we've been breaking this down in week 1. Laura Garza did a fantastic job in kicking this series off as we laid out how to prepare to hear, preparing to hear. If you didn't hear that, all these messages are archived online. You can go and listen to those and follow on the notes as well. All that's there for you online. You need to get that one. That's so important. Preparing our heart. It's important that our heart be prepared to hear. Week 2, we talk about the fact that he speaks to me. God does speak to me. He doesn't just speak to the elite. He doesn't just speak to the who's who. He speaks to the shepherds. Come on. He speaks to the lowly. He speaks. Come on. He speaks to the common people. He speaks to you and I if we will just hear his voice and listen. And the last week we talked about the fact that, well, God can speak in many different ways. In fact, if you look through scripture, you can probably find about a dozen ways that God speaks. But we highlighted one way that he speaks last week, and that he speaks in whispers, the whispers of God. And I think it also bears out the fact that God wants intimacy with us. You know, when you got to get close to somebody when they're whispering, you hear what they're saying. And so, but oftentimes, it seems like more often than any other time when God speaks to us, and we hear him speaking in Scripture, it's through a whisper. He speaks to us in that still, small voice. And in fact, just to encourage you a little bit further with this, I'm just going to give you a reference of a book that you might want to check out. There's a book titled Whispers by Bill Hybels. Many of you know him, a very successful pastor. And he's written a book about called Whispers and how we can know the voice of God. And so we're gonna talk about that today. How do you know? I mean, how do you know whether it's God speaking to you? How do you know if it's something you haven't just made up or thought of yourself? Or how do you not know that it's pizza that you ate the night before? Come on, it just, you know, didn't settle right. So how do we know? So we're going to talk about that today. And so today is really about recognizing God's voice. Recognizing God's voice. Let me give you another book as I'm giving you some referrals here that you might want to check out if you want to dig a little bit deeper on this. And the book is titled Frequency, which is what this title is named. Frequency by Robert Morris. And just a great, more in-depth study about how to recognize and hear the voice of God. I want to just give you some practical things and how we can do that. And let me just say that every voice that you hear is not necessarily the voice of God. Can I tell you that even within the church, even while I'm speaking, there could be another voice speaking to you in the ear telling you something contrary to maybe what God is trying to speak to your heart. So there's different things even within the church. I heard a story one time of a couple who was about to be married. This couple has now been married probably about 32 years. I've been married 32 years. Just not a story about us, but I'm just saying. But anyway, the story goes that they were on their way in their church to premarital counseling. And it's that's what we do for couples before they get married. Not that you need counseling per se, but we just want to kind of get you on the same page, going in the same direction as you start this journey together. And it's a good thing to do, and I offer that as well. But this particular church, that they were going to their pastor, and they were about to go downstairs and meet with the senior pastor. And before they went, there was a man in the church who had the gift of prophecy. The Bible talks about that, the gift of prophecy. And so, and he was very well respected in the church, and he operated that gift, so the man called them over, and here it was this young couple about to have their first session of marriage counseling, and this man came up to them, and he said, hey, can I pray with you guys? I just feel like maybe I should pray with you, and I think the Lord would have me pray. And they're like, yeah, you pray, you're the man, you know. And so they kind of closed their eyes, had the girlfriend, you know, the fiance there next to him, And so he reached out his hand, he put his hand on his head, and he started shaking the other hand and said, "Thus says the Lord, this marriage is not of God." You know, and they're thinking, oh my. And so the young couple standing there, they're thinking, oh no. You know, of course, I'm sure the guy's trying to talk the girl into marrying, you know, and she's thinking, well, maybe this, you know, so. And so he let him pray, and he's respectful. But when he got to praying, he said, "Brother," he said, "I love you, and you know I respect you, but you missed it this time. You just missed it." And so he went on down and talked to his pastor, and yes, told him what had just had happened. And he said, "Oh, no, you're good, you're fine." And he said, "You know, you're okay." 32 years later, very successful marriage and family, and you know. So I'm just saying, there are those times when. And you say, well, that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be in the church. Well, here's the thing. Those things are going to be. Those things are going to happen. And there's going to be some ebb and flow. And there are, and as we're trying to figure this thing out and what God has called us to do and where the gifts lie, those things are going to happen, okay? But we all miss it at times. And what I'm trying to say in that is that God is infallible, but man's not, right? Man does miss it. So we're going to talk about what, how do we handle it? How do we deal with that? Because I've heard someone say one time that God will always use his word, his spirit, and his person. And the word and the spirit are always consistent, but the variable is always the person, right? Can I get a good amen, right? And it's so true. So let's talk about how we can recognize God's voice. Think about this though. Let me just before we get on into this, underline what I just said there. We are going to miss it at times. Hey, Peter missed it. Jesus said, who does men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. And he said, who do you say that? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood's not revealed this to you, but my Father, only God did that. God revealed that to you. That's God's Spirit revealing that to you. But just a few moments later, when Jesus started talking about, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die, Peter rebuked him and said, no, there's no dying here, no dying. And Jesus turned around and said, and rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So in one moment, he's hearing from God. The next moment, he's being called, he missed it that easily. So what I'm saying here is that we need to understand. We need to also see the beauty of this verse. Let me give you this. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. So there's a Holy Spirit, but there are other spirits as well. Okay? And it doesn't mean somebody's bad because they get it wrong. And it doesn't mean somebody's possessed by the devil. It may be they're oppressed or they're influenced or they just got it wrong. Okay? But don't believe every spirit, but test. Test the spirits, and there's other spirits, to see whether they are of God. And so we got to be careful. I heard one guy, he said, I believe God spoke to me. And we have to be real careful with that. Those can be dangerous words. We got to be real careful with that. And I believe God does speak, but we got to be careful with that. One man said, yeah, God spoke to me, and I really believe that God wants me to leave my wife and go be with my mistress. Now, brother, you missed it again, okay? I'm not the same guy, but you know, that's not of God because, we're going to get into because, okay, why? So you say, but it feels right, but that's a different spirit working on you, okay? That's not the Spirit of God. That's a spirit, we can talk about that. What you're feeling, but we don't go by feelings, okay? So Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right. Well, it seems right, feels right. It appears to be right, but the end, it leads to death. You're going to die. It ain't going to work, okay? And you say, but I thought, but it feels right. And here's what we get a lot. But I know God wants me to be happy. Can I tell you that there's not a verse in the Bible that says that God wants you to be happy? He doesn't. It doesn't say that. God wants you to be holy. And guess what? When you're holy, guess what? It's going to lead you to be happy. And your happiness can actually make you miserable if you get the wrong kind of happy going on. You see what I'm saying? So we need a test. We need a filter. And I'm going to give you four. And I recommend that you use not just one of these, but that you use all four of these filters when determining how you can hear the voice of God. And for all of us, we need this, okay? Whether it's in your home, in your marriage, raising your children, on the job, if you're a student at UNC Charlotte, and you're going to get on campus, and trust me, you've already probably heard it. You're going to hear a lot of voices, and you're going to hear some other different spirits. It's just life. It's called being in this world. It's just going to happen. So how is it that you can stay on track and hear the voice of God? So I want to give you some tools I believe that will help us. Number one, write this down. Write this question down. Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? Let me just say this. God's voice will never contradict God's word. God's not going to contradict himself. That's pretty good right there. And let me just give you a scripture to bear this out. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, let me read this to you. Some Pharisees came to him, came to Jesus to test him, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And I love this because Jesus really didn't even answer them. He just came back with them with this question. He said, haven't you read? Why are you asking me? It's already written. Haven't you read He replied that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And notice he answered the question with a question. He said, haven't you read? Why are you asking me? It's already written. And I just got to say that today, there's a bunch of things that 30 years ago we used to call sin that we don't call sin anymore. And people will come up to the pastor and say something like, well, what do you think about this? You know, this is a current issue in our day. What do you think about this? And I would just say the same thing. Why are you asking me? What does my opinion matter? And I'm just going to answer the same way. It is written. It is written, right? And that hasn't changed, right? What makes him God is that he gets to say what's right and wrong. That's who he is. That's what makes him God. And I'm following God. I'm not following my feelings on this. I'm following God. And that's a choice you have to make as to whether you're following God. So it's extremely important that we know what the Bible says. Does it line up with the Bible? And by the way, this particular scripture that was shared here about divorce, and sometimes I think we kind of picked on that one in church unfairly. Let me tell you something. You say, well, God does not hate divorced people. Okay? God hates divorce. He hates anything that's going to hurt you. Okay? He's for you. But can I tell you something? That God has the power to redeem, and I know some people have been through that thing. God has the power to redeem, and God has the power to heal, and God has the power to give new beginnings. Okay, everybody? So God's not against divorced people. He is against things that hurt you, and he has the power to heal. Somebody needs to hear that. I just want you to understand that. I want to make sure that's clear. Luke chapter 21 and verse 23 in the Living Bible puts it this way, and though all heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall remain forever true. My word shall remain forever true. Now, here's the point of this, and that is that sometimes people want to take the Bible out of context. A theological term is that we want to consider the whole counsel of God. Okay? So that means that we need to bring everything the Bible has to say about a certain matter together. Right? So we've got, you can't just say, well, I mean, you can make it say whatever you want to say if you want to pull things out of context, right? Can I just add a little humor here? I don't get in trouble here. I didn't come up with this. This is somebody else, all right? Don't blame me. I'm just the messenger, right? But I heard of a pastor who said, I know that there's no women that's going to be in heaven. And they said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I can show it to you in Scripture. I can give you a verse for it. You know, there's that moment in heaven where there's a moment of silence. So there could be no women there. Boy, yeah. And to all you women, you say, and there's no preachers there either because you can't shut up either. Just giving a little laughter there, trying to lighten it up. But the fact of the matter is that we take things out of context. Look, the devil took, I think this is hilarious. I find humor in Scripture. The devil took the word to try to tempt the word. Remember when Satan came and he tempted Jesus? And he used the word. He's taking things out of context. That's funny. I don't care what you say. I mean, he took the word to tempt the word. But Jesus just kept coming back with the word. He came back with three more against him. Come on, everybody. It is written. It is written. It is written. So does it line up with the word of God, what God's, because you've got to choose in life what's going to be your filter for truth. I actually had this conversation some years ago with a college student, actually, and they were asking me about my thoughts on a particular topic. And again, I was kind of, you know, saying, well, first of all, let's establish what is our filter for truth. And see, what it came down to was not the issue. What it came down to was this was the issue. See, some of us think the issues are the issues, and we get hung up on the issues. The issues aren't the issues. God's the issue, everybody. And when you settle that issue, it settles all these other issues, right? And so really, most of the discussion was not on the issue, it was on whether God really meant what he said. Which, by the way, that's how we all got in this mess to begin with, was way back in the Garden of Eden. Remember, the tempter came to Adam and Eve and said, well, did God really mean that? No, God didn't really. And, oh, okay. And we compromised, and we've been in a mess ever since. So how do we get straightened back out? We get back to what the Bible says. Amen? I mean, this sounds like old-fashioned preaching, but it's very practical. Amen? Very good stuff. It's words to live by. And so, let me give you a second one. Number one, does it line up with the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Christ? If I do this, if I'm trying to hear the voice of the Lord and what I should do, what I should not do, will it make me more like Jesus? Because, listen, the goal after salvation is really that, is to make us more like Jesus. And by the way, don't make it your goal after don't make it your goal before salvation. It doesn't work. It's your goal after salvation to become more like Jesus. You can't become more like Jesus before salvation. First, you got to meet Jesus. And then you fall in love with Jesus. And then you surrender your life to Jesus before you have the power to become like Jesus. That's the way that works, right? Because you don't have to get your act together before you become a Christian. You become a Christian to get your act together. There's a difference. You see, salvation is free. You don't have to earn it. It's not by works. You don't have to be a better person. You just have to surrender your life to his control. But once you do, then things change. Then it becomes a process. Philippians says it's working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's what we call... That's what we call regeneration. It takes place in a process. And it's where the more I know him, the more I become like him. And you can say, well, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was, but I'm working it out. There's a process. There's a process on him to become more like Christ. Here at Crosspoint, we have a couple of ways that we help you through that process. One's called the growth track. You heard about it today. It's just a four-week thing we take you through. It's only 1 hour out of church, and we feed you, y'all. College students need to hear that. We feed you lunch, okay? And it's just four, first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. Boom, it's just a catalyst to go through and help you discover really what this thing's all about and what I'm all about. You know, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you, okay? That you can figure out kind of how God's wired me and what my purpose is, and then you get on a team fulfilling that, right? I mean, that might even help you figure out, and somebody here was undecided today in a major, okay? That might even help you give you some direction. That once you figure out, listen, there's two great times when you're born. One is when you, I'm getting ahead of time. Two great times in life. One is when you're born, and then the second is when you figure out why you're born, right? That's what the growth track does. The other thing is small groups. Small groups. We believe around here that real life change happens in the context of small groups. And we're launching our small groups, Pastor Steve. Next Sunday, we're launching our small groups. We'll have a small group directory online. I encourage you to get involved in that. And that's a place where you can grow and begin to work these things out. I encourage you in that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. And then 2 Corinthians, let me give you this one, says, 2 Corinthians says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So it's not about just knowing him and believing on him, but it's following him. And we do that by taking captive and allowing the Holy Spirit take captive every thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. James chapter 3, I love this. It gives us a list of what we should be like as we follow Christ. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, it is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. How true that is. How true that is. So how do we operate like Christ? I heard of a man who, actually this was a pastor, his wife was had been unfaithful, and he had been to counseling, and you know, he had forgiven her, and was trying to restore his marriage. Of course, it was extremely painful. toward his own self-esteem and self-worth and trying to pull all that back together. And then as he was in that process, she was unfaithful again. And he began to try to get counsel as to what he should do. And there were some pastors said, well, you know, I wouldn't trust her. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't give her another chance. And he came to another pastor, and the pastor said, well, you know, what do you think God's doing? I can't answer that for you. He said, what would God do? And immediately he said, well, he's forgiven me of so much. And he said, well, I think you got your answer there. And he said, I'd rather err on the side of forgiving than being judgmental. And that goes not just to that situation, but others in general, right? And so we gotta ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would his response be? Let me give you number three. Number three, ask this question. Does godly counsel agree? So here was a situation of a gentleman who had different ones saying different things. Well, what do we do in that situation? Well, I believe that we need to look for agreement as much as possible, because there's power in agreement. Before you do something, get the counsel of several other people. I remember one morning, I was out here in the lobby before church, and something had rubbed me wrong. I mean, and I just wanted to respond in a text. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. And I shared it with somebody. I said, what do you think? Does that sound right? Because I take a long time texting usually, y'all, because some of y'all don't even do spell check. I recommend spell check, by the way. You might want to just go back and reread that, because sometimes that autocorrect won't work for you so good. But I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking, is that, because text, you know, you can't put fluctuation in there unless you do that vocal thing, you know, on there. But so, and I had to, I don't know, Pastor, I don't think that would. And then I took, no. So I said, okay, I just forget it. You know, don't send it. You know, there's power in agreement. I believe I probably saved myself some something there by doing that, okay? But there's power in agreement. Does godly counsel agree? Let me give you this verse. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Now, here's the thing. When somebody, first of all, is going to give you counsel, a lot of times we're not going to agree with it. First of all, we're not going to agree, because if we're going the wrong direction and we need counsel to go a different direction, you're probably going to think your way is better, and you're not going to agree with it. So you need to consider that first and foremost. Proverbs chapter 19 and 20, verse 21 says, listen to advice and accept discipline. Oh, no, wait a minute. That means I've really got to follow that. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. You're going to benefit from it. You're going to feel better at the end of it instead of worse. Many are the plans in a person's heart. This was a scripture in our Bible verse this week. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so allow the Lord to prevail in that situation. And I love this one. Proverbs 24 and 6 says, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. You say, well, what do you mean war? Can I just tell you that there are times in life you're going to be in war? And there's some situations, you know, when we talk about being like Jesus, it doesn't mean that he's just the guy in those artist renderings where he's got the sunken face and he's throwing a curveball all the time, okay? And just walking, just gliding. Okay, those are bad people's lives. Just gliding. You know? No, actually, there were some times where he went in and he tore the temple up and threw some tables over. There's some times, and here's the thing, to hear God's voice, there's times where he's going to say move, and there's other times he's going to say don't move. Sometimes he's going to say speak, and sometimes he's going to say don't speak. There's sometimes he's going to say be at peace, and other times he's going to say pick up some tools, you need to fight, right? So there are different times like that, but we need to be sensitive to where God's speaking and how he's speaking in our life. Because listen, we just came through 21 days of prayer. Prayer is not just conversation. Oftentimes prayer is confrontation. There's some war to be waged. There's some battle, there's some other spirits that you might be wrestling with even in your own self that you've got to work through, wage through, and you need God's help, and you've got to battle through that. But listen to what it says here. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. You cannot do it by yourself. That's why small groups are so important. Right? So we're just not a church with small groups, we're a church of small groups. Amen? And so, just want to nail that down. And some, listen, if you're not careful, some will say, well, you didn't give me the advice I want, so I'm going to go get it from somebody else. You didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, so I'm going to go over and find somebody that will tell me, I'm wonderful, I'm great, yeah, you're doing okay. When actually, that's not the best advice you need to hear. Come on. And you know, you can do that. You can find, we like people that like us, right? We like people to tell us everything we want to hear. And sometimes it's not just people, I hate to say this, but sometimes we go from church to church that way. Well, I was okay in that church until, you know, found out I was supposed to change a few things. I don't want to change. Let me go somewhere where I don't have to change. Come on. And it's just convenient. Let me lighten it up here. We got to be careful. This is like one man who, my wife put on Facebook this week about Chris. She took a picture of Krispy Kreme box. Everybody know what Krispy Kreme is? Man, that thing got more hits than the prayer thing. Anyway, I'm just saying, Krispy Kreme. One guy was on his way home from work, and he prayed. He said, "Now, Lord, I want you to speak to me. If it's your will for me to pick up a box of Krispy Kreme on my way home, let the hot now light be on when I drive by." And he drove up, and it wasn't on. So he just circled the thing and circled the thing and circled until it came on. And then he pulled on in and got his donuts and went home. I'm just saying. Number four. Do I have peace? You know what's the difference between Christianity and every other religion? And that is that we don't just worship God. We have God within us. The Bible says it's the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And many of you have been in situations where you felt the clash, you felt the conflict. And what is that? It's that the Spirit of God within you, even when everything else seems to logically make sense, and you check off these other three areas we just discussed, but you get to this one and there's not a peace inside. That's the Spirit of God many times saying, that's not right, something's wrong here. I've had situations where I couldn't even put my finger in it, but somehow or other, it didn't agree with my spirit. You know what I'm saying? So do we have a peace? Is that old cartoon that we used to see of the, the devil sitting on one shoulder and the angel sitting on the other shoulder, and one saying one thing in one ear, one saying one thing in another ear? That's kind of what's going on there in the spirit. Does our spirit agree? Do we have peace? Can I just give you this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. That doesn't mean everything's going to go right. That doesn't mean everything's rosy. That doesn't mean everything's chocolate cream filled Krispy Kreme donut. You know, it's just not. There's times where it's rough and we're in the battle. Somebody asked me the other day, "How you doing?" "I'm in the fight." And sometimes, got kick gloves on. Other times you got boxing gloves on. I've had some boxing gloves on this week. I'm just saying. But God's not the author of confusion. He's a God of peace. But even in that situation, there should be an assurance in your spirit you're doing the right thing. You're standing up for what's right. You're standing against what's wrong. You're in the will of God. There needs to be an agreement. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And he's the only one that can really change things. Verse 7 says, "And here's the result. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart." That's what we need to guard, because out of our heart will all the issues and the parameters of life, right? "That will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen? As we talk about this word frequency, really, I want to present something here in the closing of this series about this word frequency. Really, there's a double meaning. We're talking about getting on the same frequency with God. All right? But it also has a meaning that means often. 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 So it's a frequency, frequently, okay? We need to be on the right frequency, frequently. So I want you to write this down in your notes. So what does that look like for us? So this is, I don't want this to just be another series that we file and it's over and we close it and we go on and we do something else, but rather we need to always be staying in the right frequency. But the way to do that is by way of frequency. Often. Write this down. Tune in every day to God. Tune in to God every day. Every day. Tune in. So the goal of your quiet time is not, okay, I had my prayer, I read my verse of the day, read my Bible reading and check that off the list and then go on your day. No, Bible reading, it was not the goal. The goal was to get to know the God of the Bible. It's to get into relationship with Him. It's to tune into His nature. It's to tune into His presence. It's to get to know Him. John 10 and 4, the Message says, when He gets them all out, He leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with His voice. Talking about a shepherd leading sheep. They're familiar with His voice. If Kim were to call some of you today, and she'd just say, hey, you'd say, who is this? Unless you looked at the caller ID and you got a call. Forget that part, okay? But if you just picked up and she said, hey, you'd say, hello, who is this? Now, if she calls me and says, hey, I'm going to say, hey, baby doll. How you doing, baby? Because I know her, okay? I mean, we've been in conversation. We're in constant conversation. I know her voice. And yeah, I know her caller ID is going to come up, but I'm just saying, her sweet picture is going to come up, whatever, but But regardless of that, sometimes I've got it in my pocket and it just rings. I just know it's her. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, I just know it's you. Hey, baby. And here's one for you. I'll say, baby, will you marry me? And she says, yes. Who is this? No. But we have a relationship. Can I just tell you that as a pastor, I can't hear God's voice any greater than what you have the ability to hear God's voice. I don't have a monopoly on hearing God's voice. This isn't a hierarchy thing. No, 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 no. Any one of you have the ability to hear God's voice. He may speak different things to you than He speaks to me for His purpose, but I want to tell you, every person can hear His voice. Come on. Hannah was wanting a child, right? Went into the temple, and the priest thought she was drunk. He said, no, I've tuned in to God. You're not. I'm doing some work here. I got a community. He said, okay, God grants you your request. You have a child, Samuel. Remember, we talked about that in week two. So I want you to know, my heart for you is that all of us tune into the voice of God and know Him. Students, I want this for you. I really do. And we're so glad you're here today. And let me just throw this out for an invitation. If you need a family away from my family, we'd love to have that opportunity. If you need a church away from your church home, we'd love to fill that bill. If you need parents, because I'm old, come on, my wife and I would love to be your parents away from your parents, okay? I'm just letting you know, okay? But I just want you to know, you have the ability to hear God's voice on that campus. Y'all think it's a long time ago when older people talk about when they were in college, and it's been many years, but it feels like yesterday. But I can remember being at Florida State. Any Gator fans in the house, don't call me, whatever. I was at Florida State, and I remember being in a dorm and hearing the craziness in the hall going on, seeing the craziness. And I remember laying in bed and looking up at the ceiling, my arms were raised in worship. And I'm not trying to elevate myself here. I'm just trying to let you know, you can be a student and live for Jesus, and you can hear His voice. I can remember tears running down my face and filling up my ears and saying, Lord, they're having a party, but you and I are having a party. I can remember walking down the streets in Tallahassee, and I know you might think I'm a little weird, But me and Jesus is having a conversation. I'm saying, Lord, I'm walking hand in hand with you. It's a beautiful thing. Come on, everybody. God just wants to have a relationship with us. No matter where you are, away from home, different place, different season in your life. Let me tell you, you don't have to go crazy on campus. You can have the one that can give you peace and not chaos. Come on, I see it. I live in this area, okay? There's some crazy stuff going on. Can I just spend a little time here? The other day I was coming up 49 and there was a car that came up in the, I hope it's nobody here, okay? But there was a car coming up in the turning lane, and instead of turning, the car kept turning. He was doing Daytona 500 donuts in the middle of 49. My son couldn't get out his Snapchat quick enough before it was over with, but there was smoke billowing out. And then we were like, what's that all about? And my family was like, what's that all about? School's back. I went through orientation over there, found out that freshmen, I love you. I know I got some freshmen in the house. I already met you before church. But the people in our orientation, when we were over there, they said they get more trouble out of the first year. After they get a little bit older, they mature out of it. You know, they just wait for mom and dad to go crazy. I'm just letting you know, mom and dad's still here. We love you. We'll take care of you. Come on. When you go crazy, we're still going to love you. But I just want you to know, you can hear. I spent a little bit of time there. I just want you to know, you can hear God's voice. You can be tuned in to hear his voice every day. Write this one down. Not only tune into God every day, but tune out things that oppose God. There's going to be some other voices, some crazy stuff going on. Parties down the street. Come on. Parties. There's nothing wrong with parties. I'm not saying that you can't party and have a good time, but there's a right kind of party and a wrong kind of party. Can I get it? A witness, all right. Tune out the things that oppose God. Tune out other voices, right? There's other voices that are going to, and by the way, you don't need my voice telling you what's right and wrong. When you come here, we're not going to shake our finger and say, here's the list, get it done, get it straight, get it right. You know, I don't do that. Because if you've got a Bible and you've got the Spirit of God, God can give you the list. You don't need to come to me and say, well, what about this? I had one guy come to me and said, Pastor, now, it is wrong to have sex with somebody when you're not married to them, right? Now, I know I'm picking one there. I don't mean to, but I'm just saying. I'm like, I think it is written. Come on. Okay? There are some things, and I just want to encourage you. Tune out the things and go in. And don't grapple so much. Some of us, I think, we grapple too much with the seconds. I heard one person say, well, it doesn't hurt me to go and see an R movie and see nudity. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. Well, the problem with that is that it doesn't affect you. That is the problem. And I think that we've gotten so close to this world. We're talking about frequency. I know it sounds old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned. It's just biblical. Okay, and it's new and fresh and relevant for every day. But when you get close to the world, you don't hear him as much, and you're confused. When you get close to him, you tune him in and tune other things out. There's clarity. There's purpose. Come on, there's peace in your life. Listen, everything God has for you is for your good. It's not to give you a hard time or rain on your parade. Well, Pastor, you ran my parade away from mom and dad. This is the time of my life. No. I'm trying to save you. I'm here. Your mom and dad called me this morning and said, let me help out your kid, okay? And by the way, this isn't just for college students. This is for 50-year-olds. Come on. This is for everybody. Amen? Amen? I'm just trying to make it special for college students today because school's back. I'm just telling you, it's for every one of us. Get close to God. Come on. Get close to God. John 10:5 in the message says, they won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. In other words, that's foreign. I'm so close to God, that other doesn't appeal to me anymore. I just want to be next to Jesus. And I want to tell you, listen, everything God wants for you is good. His list is not for him, it's for you, for your benefit. Amen, everybody? Come on. Write this one down. Let's close on this. Take steps toward what God has spoken. You know, take steps. I mean, why would God keep talking to you if you're not going to do the last thing that he's already said to you? Begin to take steps to what he's already spoken to you. John 10 and 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. They follow me. If you've written that down, would you just bow your heads with me this morning? I just want you to allow what this whole series has been about. I want you to allow the Lord to speak to you. Allow God's voice to speak to you. And just simply pray something like this. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? What do you say? For some of you, it may be that he's giving you some direction where you've been hearing different counsel, but God's given you clarity on that of what you need to do, what decisions you need to make. For some of you, it may be some things that are unresolved, and God's speaking peace right now into your life. He's speaking peace. For some of you, it may be that you need to take a step. Maybe it's the growth track. Maybe you need to take a step and get into some small groups, get into a relationship where you can grow. Come on, where you can get real with one another. Maybe some of you need to take a step of surrender or step of serving. And maybe some of you just need to take a step towards Jesus. Lord, I just pray for each person here today. God, just move us in the right direction. Tune us, Lord. Help us to tune you in and tune other things out, God. Remove the distractions, God, and help us to hear you clearly today. I want to lead you in a prayer today as your heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to lead those of you that need to take a step of surrender, making him Lord of your life. That's what the Bible calls it, just make him Lord. It means he's in charge. It means you're giving him your life. That's really what salvation is about. It's putting him first so he's not just on the list, but he's at the top of the list. That he can order your life and bring about peace in your life. I want to for those of you that need to pray that kind of a prayer, you say, I just need to make sure that my life at this point in my life is truly surrendered to God. It may be that you're reaffirming or you once we're in that right relationship, but it's not where it needs to be. Or maybe it's the first time. But you know at this point that God's given you an opportunity and you're saying today, I want to surrender. I want to give him my life. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're watching online, if you're here in the house, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. Just while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I simply want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you, would you let me know right now? It's just by slipping up your hand and you can slip it right back down while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? God bless you. Good job. Job. If you're watching online today, we encourage you to join with us. And I just want to pray this prayer, lead you in a prayer. All you got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. But today, I'd just like everybody to join us in praying this prayer out loud, just for support of those that need to pray it, just to give them an opportunity. Could you just pray something like this? Just say, today, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, paying for all my debts. Today I surrender my life. Forgive me for going my way. Forgive me for my sins. By faith I receive your forgiveness. I invite you to come inside. Make me brand new on the inside. Today I give you my life. Come on, say that again. I give you my life. I surrender my past, my present, and my tomorrow. With all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In your name I pray. Jesus, thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. God, I celebrate with them the best decision they've ever made. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help them day by day, step by step, to live this thing out, to take the next step.
and following you with their life. God, I pray you would add meaning to their life, God. Give them purpose, Lord. Give them a fulfilled life, God. Give them a life that is full of joy and fulfillment for following you, God. I pray, Father, that you would give peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for it now, Lord. God, help us to be a church, God, that continues to stay in the right frequency, God, on the right channel, Lord. Just help us, God, to stay in tune with you, Lord, to daily stay in tune with you. God, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.